My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast.
I'm so honored to have my guest this week. Mira is an author, an integrative health practitioner, breathwork coach, wellness consultant, and the founder of her very own chai brand. I am actually really excited personally to try the gingerbread chai. Having traveled extensively through India, Mira realized just how authentic her own home-cooked Gujarati food was, and she came back to learn everything about it. She is a champion for eating wholesome food that also doesn't compromise on flavor. With a background in journalism, Mira has written for the Evening Standard, The Independent, Red Magazine, as well as many more, and has launched two of her very own books, Saffron Soul and Prana. So Mira, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Kirsty. I'm really good, thanks. It's a lovely summery September day here, so really lovely day.
I'm honored that you're here, and I just think you have this amazing wealth of knowledge. I'm so excited to share everything with our listeners. It would be awesome to kind of start off with as to what led you down this path to where you've got to now and how you've kind of really created your signature style.
Yes. Firstly, thank you so much for a kind and lovely introduction, Kirsty. Yeah. And what started me on the journey? Well, I would go back right to when I was probably diagnosed with IBS as a maybe 14-year-old, I think, or 15, when I used to get stomach cramps and I was eating really well. There was no real issues. It wasn't like I was a normal, healthy child. And IBS did affect me, but it's not like it stopped me doing anything. And I had a very sort of regular routine with my food and where, you know, how I ate, and going to a very healthy sort of school, actually, where it was all vegetarian food. It was actually when I turned 16, when all my hormones somehow changed. And also I went to a new school and everything changed in terms of the diet. And I didn't understand that what I'd eaten so far in life was healthy. It just was healthy. And suddenly I went to sixth form where things, and a new school where things were not healthy. I was also out of my comfort zone, started putting on weight, got acne. And that's, I think, when I sort of lost or damaged my relationship with food, having started reading all these media things about, you know, eating low fat, high sugar. Well, I guess inevitably it's high sugar, but the eating low fat for losing weight and doing Weight Watchers and really not thinking about nutrition when actually my whole life nutrition had been like sort of very, very good. And I think that sort of made me think I was being healthy by having like low fat or going on a diet, because that was what we considered good back then. And in the process of doing that yo-yo dieting for years and years after that, I think I depleted my body of essential nutrients and vitamins and minerals, didn't keep up with my supplements, and over time was losing hair. I moved abroad, I got married, and in between all that, you know, food was one of those things I was always battling against, as opposed to using to really sort of, you know, I didn't have a normal relationship with food. And it's not like I still went from like a little bit, you know, putting on a bit of weight to being normal again. And it just, I was constantly yo-yoing with my body. And over that time, I started, in fact, in my late teens, I started going to India and interspersing my trips to India with Ayurvedic retreats. And so Ayurveda was sort of it was sort of a part of my life, but I used to think of Ayurveda as a destination. Yes. And it was later that I came back to it thinking, oh, actually, you know, what the way I was brought up and, you know, what I ate when I was brought up as a child was all very Ayurvedic. And I realized suddenly that it's a way of life and it's not just something that you go and do in a detox in a lovely spa in India. But anyway, the point is that Ayurveda was very much part of my life. And it was only like at the age of 30 that when I started writing my first book, Saffron Soul, that I really wanted to connect with my heritage and tell people that actually Indian food is very healthy. in its essence, and we don't need to define Indian food, and we shouldn't define Indian food by what we eat in restaurants.
Wow, that's such an incredible answer. And I do know exactly the point you're talking about. I spent 6 months actually on my own in India when I was in my mid-20s, and the food is impeccable. And what I love as well is how much you've kind of traveled around India, the difference between the different states. Everything is just so varied, and the way that everyone uses spice is different, and different elements, and fish and coconut and meat, and it's not actually what we get in the UK as Indian food. It's very different.
Yes. And I think when I started writing my first book, I think the only restaurant, we didn't have as many varied restaurants as we have now in the Indian scene here. It was very much, you know, sort of the tandoori, Bengali, Punjabi style food, which is only one, you know, element of Indian, and actually it's not fully Indian either. It's not what you eat at home. And that's why I think when people think of Indian food, they feel they need to replicate those flavors, and it's quite difficult. So they just think, oh, we'll just get a takeout. But actually, you don't need to replicate those flavors. And actually, there's such benefits in cooking with spices at home and cooking very simply. So that's why I felt like I needed to write that first book, which is just home-cooked Gujarati. Again, that's the region I'm from, but home-cooked Gujarati vegetarian cuisine, and mostly vegan, in fact, to show that eating Indian food at home can actually be really, really wonderful, good for the gut, good for the health, and very simple, actually. You know, you don't need that much.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of when somebody maybe starts out on this journey, somebody's listening now and thinking, I do know this is good for me, but I feel overwhelmed. You know, it's not in my heritage. I'm not really sure where to start. What would you say is kind of the way that you started to develop? You said you kind of changed everything around in your 30s. You know, you wrote your book and you wanted to share this, but where do people start if they're right at the beginning of their journey now?
I would say it really depends on, you know, how you want to, what you're trying to change or heal. And I think the starting point, I would say, is just starting by introducing spices into how you eat and everything that you cook. So even if you're just making a stir fry, you know, what can you add to that in terms of spices? You know, that's just the plain, simple ginger garlic, perhaps. And then if you're making a very light curry, for example, a lot of people make the simple cauliflower and pea curry from my book, and it is really, really quite simple. There's not that many ingredients. And, you know, can you start with one or two curries, which are not like, you know, we're not talking about gravy curries. We're talking about dry curries with just like mustard seeds, cumin seeds, the simple turmeric and coriander cumin powder. And that's basically all it contains. And that's, again, replicated over very many recipes in my book. And then there are some other ingredients. But if you can start introducing little and simple, easy staples like that to your diet, or just adding cumin seeds to your regular stir fry, you know, and learning how to do that, just frying them in a little bit of oil, or even roasting them and then adding in your vegetables and tofu, whatever you're cooking with. But also drinking spices, you know, I often start my day with ginger powder or grated ginger in hot water, and seeing how that helps to boost your metabolism and helps to boost what in Ayurveda is called the Agni, or the digestive fire. And see how that helps you, because actually the older you get, the more, I guess, sensitized and sensitive you become to things, and you'll be able to hopefully notice the difference with just introducing a few spices, be that cinnamon, ginger, cardamom. And that's why I sort of, you know, essentially my chai brand is combining all those spices, but that also is a more decadent drink. It's got sweetness to it. So even just introducing a few spices to your hot drinks, having a hot chocolate with a bit of ginger in it, for example, those sorts of things, it's anti-inflammatory. It's anti-inflammatory. It's also very, it revs the gut up, you know, sort of awakens the gut in the morning, as you'd say, or warms us up, because actually in the winter or whenever, our bodies need to be warmed up, and that adds warmth to our bodies.
It's an amazing point, actually. And just on that, to get like really specific then, is that your morning routine? Would you say, do you have that every single day? You have your hot water with ginger?
I do. I generally start with ginger. But there are times when I wake up and I might have I don't know, I'm trying to think, maybe a bit of lemon. I don't always start with lemon. Or I might wake up and have a few cumin seeds in hot water. But I generally try and start with a spice rather than going straight to, say, coffee. Before that, I do have lots of warm-ish room temperature water because my body does require that. And I think, you know, we don't realize how we haven't had water since last night. And that's generally quite a lot of hours to be dehydrated. So you will wake up needing water, even if you don't feel like it.
Interesting. I just on that, it's almost quite personal me asking you this question, because I, for me, if I drink lemon and water in the morning, I think it's too aggressive. So I'm really going to try actually with the ginger. And I've been trying to have like hot water and lemon. Obviously, I know it's good for digestive system, but it just doesn't feel right for me. So yeah, it's really interesting.
I used to actually do a lot more lemon and apple cider vinegar and stuff, but I don't do that anymore. And I think it's listening to your body. You know, if it doesn't feel right, there's, you know, there are also, you know, other times of day when you can include lemon in your diet, and you can actually just put lemon and lime in your drinks instead.
Definitely
your food, squeezing it on your food. I mean,
absolutely. So tell me about how you've kind of developed your style. Obviously, you work with like incredible brands as a wellness consultant. We were just talking before, actually, weren't we? You worked with this wonderful restaurant in India called Amethyst in Chennai, which I went to years and years ago. And it's one of my highlights actually of my time in India. It's this incredible like colonial space. So I really want to know how people can hone in and kind of the Mira style, you know, what would you say is your signature style?
My signature style. Sorry, in what capacity?
In terms of how you interpret Ayurveda, you know, what have you taken out of it? What are your key recipes or your key takeaways? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me run through all the things that I sort of go through with people when like I'm doing an Ayurveda workshop. And I think there are key principles you just have to, you can abide by. And that's essentially, hopefully, living a more Ayurvedic way. I think firstly, one of the things I would say is, you know, my book, second book, Prajna, is all about Ayurvedic rituals for happiness. And it's not about taking 10 rituals at a time or 10 practices that you can insert into your life together, because inevitably you may fall on one of them and then you'll be like, oh, this is too hard, let me not do it. So take one at a time. And I think when it comes to Ayurveda, I would say let's start with food. And the principles of Ayurveda, I would say are probably 5 or 7 principles. Number one, starting to change your bodily rhythms so that you're waking up as early as possible. So, you know, in terms of early, I mean going according to the circadian rhythm. Now, for those of you that don't know what the circadian rhythm is, it's basically the rhythm of the sun. So waking up when the sun wakes up. Now, we all know that's not really possible always. So waking up as close to that as you can, you know, slightly earlier than usual, and see what difference that makes, because that will essentially change your whole pattern. Hopefully you'll start sleeping earlier, which is what you should do, because, you know, even now we're starting to realize through all the books that are written on sleep and all the scientists that are proving things with sleeping early, that, you know, Ayurveda or Chinese medicine or what people have done for years is actually correct. And there's a reason for it, which is sleeping early or sleeping by 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. Your body actually goes through a lot of regenerative processes during the first few hours. And it really does matter when you sleep. So trying to sleep early. But that also does affect and should affect how you eat and when you eat. So trying to, again, mimic the circadian rhythm in terms of how you eat. Now, but what I mean by that is that our digestion, what we call the digestive fire, goes according to the sun. So think of your digestive fire as like the ball of energy in the, you know, up there at the sun. And when is the sun at its strongest? It's usually at lunchtime. And that's therefore when your digestive fire will be at its strongest. So if you try and go abide by that, then you would want to have your largest meal at lunchtime. Now, and that therefore means breakfast should be not as soon as you wake up, maybe an hour or two afterwards. So do some movement before you have breakfast, and then have dinner before the sun sets. And again, have a lighter dinner. Now, we all know that we live in a world where all of these things aren't always possible, and that's totally fine. Firstly, do what you do 80% of the time matters more.
Yeah.
try and abide by that 80% of the time. If that also seems too hard and your lifestyle just doesn't allow it, then that's fine. Try and change it so that you're doing a larger meal, maybe not your largest, but a larger meal at lunchtime. And can you possibly shift 4 days a week or 5 days a week having dinner at 8 p.m.? Can you shift that to 7 p.m.? And then slowly, can you shift that to 6:30? The quicker you see the impact of that change, the more you'll want to make that change. So it's a lovely virtuous cycle that you get into then. So I would say that's one key principle of Ayurveda. You know, your body going according to and waking up according to the circadian rhythm and understanding that your digestion goes according to the circadian rhythm. Number two, I would say, is the eating cooked foods. Now, Ayurveda really hones in on eating more cooked foods than raw foods. So not that many salads, not that many raw things. Of course, when you're in the height of summer or you're living in a really hot country, raw foods might suit you more. But all in all, if you can, especially if your digestion is sluggish, if you moved towards cooked foods, you'll see the difference. I certainly do, especially having IBS, raw foods do affect me more. But that doesn't mean I never have salad. I just chew it more, chew it better, and also make sure that I don't have something like salad late at night. So having a salad is fine, but maybe ensure that it's a cooked salad. You know, I always have like different vegetables that are cooked in my salad. Thirdly, I would say, you know, spices, which is what I was just talking about, you know, adding spices to your food and drinking spices, like I just mentioned. I won't go on too much about that because I've touched on that point. But it's really important because it revs up your digestion. It kind of enhances the capacity for you to digest and has so many other benefits. Look up each spice and you'll see tons of benefits of each spice. And then number four, I would say, you know, insert some sort of movement every single day. You know, try and maybe start your day with a walk and listen to something really enlightening or something that really sort of lifts your energy. You know, if you're a runner, then start with a run. Insert some sort of movement later on in the day, whether it's yoga or weightlifting or some sort of gym workout, anything you can, because again, that has so many different benefits, not just to moving your body, helps your digestion. It also gets those endorphins moving. So you actually get happy hormones floating through your body. So it's really, really important in so many different ways, which is why actually when people are really low and they're feeling sad or upset or depressed, they do say that when they actually do some sort of exercise, it lifts them. And that's because of the endorphins that exercise creates. And find what works for you. It doesn't have to be yoga. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. And mix it up if you can. There's so much at our fingertips these days. I can't think what else right now, but there are plenty of other. But I would say if you just try and abide by even just changing your rhythm to waking up slightly earlier and inserting one or two mindful practices. For example, waking up and just smiling, even if you're not going through a good time in life, or even if you're not feeling like you want to smile, just understand that your physiology will change your psychology over time. Like even just the act of smiling will make you want to think happier thoughts first thing in the morning.
That's so powerful, so much of what you said. And actually, the point that you ended on, I was going to say, obviously, we're talking a lot about the gut and the internal well-being, but the gut is almost like our second brain. So from your point of view, what does all of this Ayurvedic practice do for the mindset?
Do for the mindset? I would say essentially grounds you and gives you a calmer day, I would say, because it adds more mindfulness to your day, makes everything come back to the self a bit more. So wellness in all its forms, for example, eating well, making sure that you're prioritizing what you eat and how you eat and when you eat and everything, prioritizing your own movement, whatever exercise you're inserting during the day, prioritizing your meditation practice or whatever it is that you feel is meditation. It could be anything really. Prioritizing yourself basically. So it brings you back to the self more. I feel like that's a question that I've not actually been asked before, and it's really interesting. Yeah, I would say it brings you back to yourself. So no matter where you are, who you are with, you are essentially being a little bit selfish. But actually, I think being selfish about your own well-being is quite important, because you realize more and more, the more things you go through, the more suffering you go through, that actually those practices are what really revives you and keeps you going and keeps you grounded on a daily basis. And feeling good ultimately allows you to be a happier person.
Absolutely. I would love to know, you are an incredibly multifaceted woman, Mira, and you do all of the things all of the time. It's fascinating. I really, really recommend, I'll put everything in the show notes, but to follow Mira and to see what she's doing and her books are just wonderful. How do you manage all of that without almost going into that state of, you know, overwhelm or wanting to achieve more? Because you've always seen, whenever I've seen you or I engage with you, you're just always very calm. And I think it's really inspiring.
That's really kind. I mean, I can't say I don't get overwhelmed or I don't get agitated or I don't get angry. All of those things happen. But I can say that over time and having, I guess, worked on myself, because essentially that's what I would say I've done. I don't know if I'd put it like that, but that's how, you know, people say that they do it. But yeah, I feel like having done all of that and having really prioritized myself, especially over lockdown, I do feel more grounded. Yeah. I do feel calmer. And I do feel like that is the most important thing for me, i.e. making sure that I feel okay, good and happy in my body and in my mind, hopefully on a daily basis. And when I don't feel those things, I kind of can pinpoint why. And that really is important to me now, because having suffered from, you know, firstly, having gone through a divorce where I was very, very depressed and lonely for a very long time, having lived abroad, having really suffered with my digestion over the years. And I still, if I eat out too much, and if I eat, say, you know, even if I eat one pizza, it'll affect me. So I just don't eat certain things. So even exercising discipline for me is very, very important, which I find really hard, to be honest. I mean, one of the principles I completely forgot to mention of Ayurveda, which is don't snack in between meals, or try not to snack in between meals, is something I find very, very hard, because I just, my natural instinct is to think about food all the time. So that's something I fought against, and I can't say I've completely conquered that, because I really haven't. But that's something that if you can go towards that, i.e. having less snacks between meals and allowing for the digestive fire to be ignited again properly to receive the next meal, that's really important. And that's one of those key principles of Ayurveda that I struggle with. So I think everyone, no matter what stage they're at, will struggle with something. But essentially, can you be more of what you were a year ago? Can you be more than that? Can you actually improve upon that? And that's where I feel like it's a constant work in progress. And yes, when someone says you're calm or your energy's calm, I do feel a lot calmer in life now. I just don't get agitated or ruffled by things the way I used to. Part of that is understanding that even if you don't have patience in life, which I never have had, life will teach you patience. And I've been over and over and over again. And actually, no matter how much anxiety you have, and no matter how much you fret about something, it's not going to change the circumstance or the outcome.
Oh my gosh, that's so powerful. That's such a great teaching and a great learning as well. Because again, it's all perception, isn't it? You know, obviously people may feel that way towards you, or you're always super calm, Mira, but obviously everyone deals with things in their own way. And I think you've actually built a lot of coping mechanisms through your work, through your self-development, through your Ayurvedic practice, that are almost feel innate to you. But again, to us as the listener, who's, you know, we're trying to learn everything we can about Ayurveda, it's super, super powerful. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. No, I mean, it's a really interesting process, and it's taken years of sort of work, I guess.
What would you say, just to wrap up a few little questions at the end, what would you say is your biggest learning that you've taken away?
My biggest learning? I would say just having the faith that everything will be okay. I know that sounds a bit very vague, but I think that just having the faith that things will turn out okay in the end, because sometimes that reassurance, or even saying those things out loud, whether it's an affirmation or something, is what we need, because on a daily basis, things might not change, but over time, you'll realize that it will change. And also understanding that the only constant in life is change. So don't hold on to things as well. And lastly, I would say just the learning from just my own journey is work on yourself, because your attitude and your reaction to things is basically all that matters. You'll be thrown different things your way. The loads of things will come your way, whether it's good or bad. But actually, it's your attitude and your reaction that will matter ultimately.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And to end, you were given so many incredible pieces of information on here, nuggets for everyone to take away. But what would you say is your one mindset hack that you come back to when you're feeling yourself maybe getting out of alignment or going into overwhelm? What would you say you always come back to?
Breath work. I would say I'd come back to breath. You know, if I'm in a stressful situation, if I'm in an argument, if I'm outside and I'm just feeling, I don't know, sudden anxiety, I use the breath. Even if I'm with somebody, I'll really silently use my breath to calm myself down. And actually, breath is such a powerful practice, because we often don't realize that we're in stress mode or in what is called the fight or flight mode in the sympathetic nervous system, which is a system we don't want to be in. We often don't realize we're in that even when we're in it. Sometimes continuously, and that will affect everything, and that will mostly actually affect digestion. So you won't be able to digest the food. Even if you're eating the right foods, you may not be able to get the nutrients from it because you're in stress mode all the time, and so your body can't actually focus on digestion. So using that breath to even just collect yourself, calm yourself, and arrive in the present moment before you eat, which is why a lot of cultures have, you know, prayer before eating. I mean, that's not the only reason. Of course, you want to dedicate to the Lord and give thanks. That's really important. But also just using that moment to just sit and arrive into the present moment and take a really long few deep breaths to calm the system. You know, your energy might be frenetic. It might be, but in whatever capacity, it might be stressed. So just using the breath to de-stress your body, it's actually a very physical process, and it's not just, oh, I'm mentally stressed. That will have so many that will have such big impact on your body and your physical state that we don't even realize. So the breath is really, really important. And I've actually trained in breath work because that's really been important for me.
Absolutely. I definitely feel it when I'm stressed in my belly, and I notice I check in with myself. I'm holding my belly tight, or I'm just breathing into the throat spaces. I'm not doing any belly breathing. So I really completely mirror that. I totally understand. And before we go, what is coming up for you, or what is something that you can share with everyone? Where can they find you? I want everyone to connect with you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I would say mainly it will be Instagram, which is at Mira Manik, MiraManek. And my chai brand is at Chai by Mira, which is ChaiByMira. And so those are the main places I post everything. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook with Mira Manik, and Facebook with both my brands, and my website, which is ChaiByMira.com. And also MiraManek.com. And that's mainly it. And both my books are available on Amazon and on my website, Chai by Mira. And they're called Saffron Soul and Prajna.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this conversation today, Mira. I'm totally grateful. I'm so glad we connected, and there's so much in here. I will obviously share all of Mira's links in the show notes. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode with Mira. I just find her so fascinating, and I've really loved to learn from her ever since we first connected. I think that Ayurveda is such a beautiful way of living. There is so much knowledge and depth. So please do make sure you connect with Mira. Obviously, all of her details will be in the show notes, as well as checking out her brand, Chai by Mira. I have to say, I've been obsessed with the ginger one. It's so autumnal, so festive, and honestly, it's just so full of flavor. Thank you again, Mira. I'm so grateful. And as always, I want to end this episode with a really nice mini meditation. Now, taking on board what we've thought about today, thinking about how the body and the mind and everything works together, the old style and principle of Ayurveda with the old, old, incredible world of meditation, they merge so wonderfully. And I really want to encompass that in our meditation today. So bearing that in mind, just closing the eyes and drawing in a nice deep breath. I want you to allow your body to settle. Allow your body to feel how it wants to feel. We become intuitive to our body in this moment. We listen to what our body is saying. We spend so much of our lives powering through, right? Going with the yang energy, with the fire, the early mornings, the late nights, the commutes, the work. But right now, in this moment, what is your body telling you? What is it that you need right now? What is it that you need right now? And allowing the body to slow down. Drawing in the breath. I want you to imagine that your breath fills the body. You can feel the breath from your head to your toes. How wonderful, how powerful. You can feel this movement. And as you draw in the breath, you begin to feel as one. You understand your breath. You understand where the body needs this breath. You begin to feel as one. Draw in that breath. You are one. You are whole. I am one. I am whole. I am one. I am whole. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy this feeling. I am one. I am whole. My body is my vessel. Allow me to receive. I am here. I am whole. Allow me to receive. Surrender in this moment. Let go within your meditation. Just let go. Just be still. Just be here. Beginning to bring some awareness now back into the body. Maybe gently blinking the eyes open. Taking a moment just for you. Thank you so much for being here again, and we will see you next week.